This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Naked Rancher here for my Women Ranchers series and the podcast. So today we're going to be discussing Evelyn Cameron, and we will be with Lorna Milne, who is not only the expert on her, in my opinion, but has been a teacher for over 30 years in writing and literature. She lives in Helena, Montana, and she wrote a book called Photographer on the Western Prairie. So welcome, Lorna. I'm so pleased to have you here for the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you before we get into Evelyn?
I'm a retired teacher, and I retired primarily so that I could spend more time writing. We live on a small farm north of Helena. We have a lot of family in Montana. Grandsons come for visits in the summer. It's a really good life.
That's fabulous. Well, then why don't we go ahead and move into Evelyn and tell me how you chose her as your subject matter.
Oh, I love this question. Well, it started in seventh grade. We had a wonderful librarian in our junior high, Mrs. Harstead, and I read all the biographies on women I could find in our library, trying to figure out how different women lived their lives, and asked Mrs. Harstead for more. She found me some, and after I went through those, I thought, someday I'm going to write biographies on women. Thankfully, these days, there's many more, but I still wanted to do that. And in 1991, when Donna Lucy's book was published, Photographing Montana on Evelyn, our historical society, Helena's the capital, so we have the Montana Historical Society here. They had an exhibit. I was eager to see the exhibit because these were photographs of Eastern Montana, which there are not a lot of.
Wow.
Especially Glendive area. Her last farm where she lived the longest was just miles from Glendive near Marsh, Montana. And after I finished the exhibit, seeing photographs of places I'd played as a child and had family names I knew and went to school with, children with the same surnames. I said, Evelyn's it. Well, I had very young children at that point, and it took me 10 more years to begin the research and writing. And then 10 years to write the book, but it was such a wonderful experience reading her diaries, studying the photographs, visiting the sites where she lived. It was just a great time.
That is fabulous. And I share your love of finding out about, you know, women and how differently they live, and especially not in your state, which is so very impressive for that time period. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a snippet of her life that stands out to you?
Well, I love the way she went about learning photography. She had a couple of boarders, one Irishman, one Englishman, who she learned photography from. And she had an interest in photographs before then, of course, but when she saw what these men could do with their cameras. She just took it on like she took on moving to Montana, yeah. being married to Ewan. I mean, like everything she'd done in her life. She just really was diligent about studying the craft and the technique. So she was so impressive.
Well, I mean, just it's true determination, and because she didn't know about photography, I mean, she probably knew about photography, excuse me. It was that from her lifestyle and bringing where she was brought up, just not really part of her interest until she got to.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're saying you were reading her diaries and got information. Was other information difficult to track down?
Well, there were questions. I couldn't determine when they got married and finally concluded that they never got married, but they just presented themselves as Evelyn and Cameron.
Ah.
I still could be wrong about that, but I did a pretty thorough search of British archives and information available and asked people questions and never came up with a date. But other than that, one of the reasons she was more accessible than most women homesteaders is, or women ranchers and farmers of that era, was that she had all these, she kept these diaries.
So impressive.
Yeah, 35 years worth of diaries. There's one missing, which I'm sure is full of interesting tidbits. I don't know where it is. But she recorded her life. And so I only read the years that surrounding the years I was writing about. And some people have read every year. And there's an amazing woman who, she's passed now, but lived in Terry, Montana, Winona Breen, who organized the compiling of these diaries, typing them up. Wow. She organized these Terry women to type them up. And so eventually they were available online. They weren't when I began. When I began, I was doing my own, recording of her diaries, which actually was good to start that way because I came to understand her habits, her abbreviations, her symbols. Thing, something she put a symbol in, and eventually a plot I figured out with the symbol meant.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah. And where was the collection when you originally saw it?
It's at the Historical Society. Okay. So these diaries and the photographs and the negatives were found in her best friend's basement. And they were found by Donna Lucy, who was a photo editor and a freelance writer. I think she found them in the early 1980s. Her book came out in 1991. But then they were all donated to the Montana Historical Society.
Oh, what an amazing find. That was great.
Yeah. Yes, it really was. It sort of rocked eastern Montana. I was just in Terry. I needed to go to Glendive, and I spent a couple nights in the Kempton Hotel where Evelyn stayed. It's been in operation since 1902.
Wow.
Obviously, some of those people, again, who have done so much work in bringing Evelyn to the country's attention, basically. It's still men are involved as well, but primarily women in that community.
Yes, sure. Well, yeah. I know that she, of course, has no immediate family or alive. However, did you get a feeling as you read through her diaries and hearing her words, did you get a feeling of knowing her?
Oh, absolutely. She didn't write as freely as I've written in my journals.
Okay.
I think that's just the difference in the era. But where I did get the best sense of her was when she wrote letters home. She was really close to her sister Hilda. They exchanged long letters, several times a year, and she'd often copy out the letters in her diaries.
Oh.
Yeah. So then I could read these letters, and then I got a better sense of her emotionally. Sometimes she was revealing in her diaries, but not that often. It was more matter of fact. But absolutely, I felt like I came to know her.
I just love the fact that she took the time to write out the letters, you're saying, correct?
Yes, yes.
Can you imagine us doing that? But it's wonderful for the record and for, you know, the history of her. And
absolutely. Yeah. It is a phenomenal record of a woman's life in that era. Yeah. In Eastern Montana. Especially the weather. How much the weather has changed. You want to see how much the weather has changed? You read Evelyn's diaries. And even when I was a kid in Eastern Montana, we had much colder weather and the winters lasted longer, but especially in Evelyn's time.
Wow. Can you imagine? It's just, we have conveniences now to try to deal with the weather, but.
Yes.
You know, they didn't really. Well, are there any descendants? I know you spoke of family names and people that you've grown up with and have a connection to, but how about for her?
Well, they didn't have any children, but a grandniece co-authored an article in Montana, the Magazine of Western History, several years ago now, about Evelyn. And thankfully that came out before I was finished with the book, because that was very informative. So yes, her sister and brother both had children. Her brother-in-law had children. So there are descendants in England and maybe other countries in Europe. But I haven't had contact with any of those people.
Well, that's fortunate though that the one grandniece.
Yes, a grandniece.
Had written an article. Well, how about something interesting or inspiring about Evelyn?
Just that she kept them centered on Montana. There were several times that Ewan wanted to throw in the towel.
Really?
She was the sturdy one and the hardy one of the two of them.
I can't imagine coming from her background.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was so freeing to live in Montana. She didn't have all these expectations of her that, you know, when she would return and go to teas with her mother. And one winter, they spent a full year there primarily to investigate Ewan's health. After his health had a bad turn, they thought he might need a surgery and were greatly relieved when the surgeons said, no, we don't think he needs surgery. And then they went and spent the winter in Scotland with Ewan's mother. But while they were in England, before they went to Scotland, she visited her mother. Her mother was still unhappy with her because she had married Ewan. Probably she knew better. The mother did as well, but that didn't come up ever in the diaries that I saw. So she escaped all that by being in Montana, and she loved to be outdoors. And she had been a tomboy, as I was as a child, and she could spend her time outdoors with her brothers, hunting small animals at that time. So I think being in Montana was so freeing with her. She got to be herself.
I love that. That kind of leads into my next question of, because she didn't live a stereotypical woman's life at that time period, how were some of her choices and actions acceptable, or did she have challenges?
Well, I do want to say she probably, for Eastern Montana, she lived a life very similar to her, to her peers. For England, she didn't, because for her class, she made different choices. But in terms of other choices she made to get there, one piece was really interesting. I studied ship manifests, could never find that Evelyn and Ewan traveled together to the United States.
Yeah.
at the time period they did come to go big game hunting. That was their first visit in 1889, and they were following on the heels of Evelyn's brother, Percy. Yes, Percy, yes, had come and hunted in eastern Montana. So they were following his lead. Anyhow, the manifest said he was traveling with Madame Alda, who was Ewan's first wife. Yes, and they were, Ewan and she were getting divorced, but they were still married. Okay. The divorce didn't come through until October. They traveled in September of 1889. So they were still married when they made this trip. And obviously, Ewan was posing as his wife, Madame Balda, who was an opera singer.
Wow.
Of course, there wasn't all the rigmarole we go through to get on a plane.
Yeah, that's right.
They were getting on a ship. That was what his ticket said. I don't know exactly how it happened, but the two of them shared a berth. They got
that's
to England.
Great.
Yeah, she was willing to go through that to embark on this hunting trip.
Well, that's a fun story.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, you have the other author or that I know that you've mentioned. Now, did she have a documentary or a movie or something that somebody had done about Evelyn?
Donna Lucy, I just saw these details again recently, had a screenplay or was Evelyn, she was working with a movie production company, but that didn't pan out after she published Photograph in Montana, this amazing book on Evelyn. And so then when that fell through, Montana PBS was able to produce a documentary on Evelyn. And the 20-year anniversary of that is this year. So they're having a celebration in Terry in October that Donna's coming to, I've heard. And my husband and I will go, and John Twiggs, who produce the documentary, so that'll be fun.
Oh, that'll be great! Absolutely, yep. I hope everybody, you know, watches it. I'm gonna track it down and watch it.
Yeah, include the link on.
Oh, great idea! I will.
Yeah, because it is. It's wonderful.
I will, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, how much fun? Well, was there anything about her that you did not put in your book?
Well, there have been questions, and I'm asked this question when I, especially the year after I published the book, I did a lot of book reading. And even some lectures. If she and Janet, her best friend, had an intimate relationship, I never could confirm that. So I didn't include it in the book. But I think it's a fair question, and it would be another lovely aspect of her life, but it always appeared to me, it read to me more like a maternal relationship.
Especially if she wrote so much in her diary, you know, about everything else that you would think she might touch on it. But I mean, I understand the implications or what people, you know, might think. How about after the fact of your writing? Have people come up to you? Have you gotten any new information?
I don't know that I have any new information. I still really want to visit the place they originally spent a year on. They called it the 4x4. It was on the Powder River.
Okay.
Every spring I drive over the Powder River. I think I want to go down there. And there's another ranch where they moved to this ranch near Terry, and I'd like to visit that one. So I haven't been to those places, but when I was in Terry recently, I did go to the Terry Badlands. I didn't get to her, to the arches that she sat on, one of the really popular photograph of her sitting on one of these stone bridges. But yes, a lot of people have talked to me about the book because, you know, they're, especially in eastern Montana, because they're so excited about displaced having a voice. You know, there just weren't many photographs in Eastern Montana. L.A. Huffman of L.A., he took pictures. But they're good. They're excellent. But Evelyn somehow feel more, well, maybe because they're closer to far Eastern Montana. They just feel more, I want to say real, but maybe it's not real, maybe more personal. And they're taken by a woman, so more families.
Yeah. Well, I would think too that so many people that you can speak about the beauty of something or, you know, a connection to it, but so often it takes an image, which even then cannot totally encompass a feeling. But on the other hand, it at least shows you things that you might not be able to ever see, which I'm sure there are so many people that have not been to Montana and not, you know, understood the feeling or the connection to nature and the majesty of it all, which is just so lovely. And I love the fact that she wanted to stay there and that she took up photography. And, I mean, I can't say more about her writing because I'm so grateful she took the time to write about that. And that you have, I mean, just what a wonderful connection for you.
Yeah.
So how about, from researching her, has this made you, you already had the love of finding out information, but researching anyone else or a connection to someone else?
Oh, I need many, many more lives. There's a lot of women I want to write about. But one I sort of started to investigate right before the pandemic. Now our historical society has been closed for a couple of years for remodeling. It was sorely needed, although I loved the little research room because you could overhear what everybody else was working on, and I'm sure it won't be the same. Yeah. But so I haven't gotten back to her. But I am interested in writing about Gretchen Billings, who is an activist and a journalist. She and her husband was a journalist, and she learned the craft. They published The People's Voice from 1939 to 69. And they published in Helena here. And there's a lot, as with Evelyn, there's a lot of written information about them. And of course, there's the newspaper.
I can work on that. Oh, that's great. Well, I mean, I implore you to do so because you do so well. Is there anything before we close out that you'd like to share with us that maybe I haven't touched on but you know would be valuable?
That if it's something you feel and know that you want to do, do it. You know, she just is such a great model. As I said, it took me 10 years to write it. Finally, I got to a point that, Lauren, you've got to get this book done. My parents were getting older. My mother was so excited about the book. My mother wanted to be a journalist. My background's in journalism. And she talked so little about herself. I didn't discover this until I was finished with journalism school. The University of Montana. And then I found some of her books, my mother's books, in the downstairs closet and said, are these yours? And she told me about wanting to study journalism and been nominated editor of the little community college newspaper in California for the next year, but her family moved and she had to move. So anyway, it was really important for me to finish it. So I asked for relief from some teaching, got it, and spent, I think, 3 winters working really hard to finish the book. Mountain Press had agreed to write, to publish it, had accepted my query, you know, like I said, 10 years earlier, had been very patient with me. But I just gave myself a deadline, send the chapter. I didn't wait for them to respond every time I finished a chapter.
Sent the chapter.
And anyway, just, it was really following Evelyn's lead and this desire to get it published before, while my mother was still alive, and I did, to finish it. And now I've been reviewing it and thought, wow, I added a lot of details. I hadn't really looked at it hard for 5 years. And I'm pleased with it. Yeah, so just do the things you want to do. Don't wait.
I agree. Time flies by, doesn't it?
Yes.
And yeah. You got to do it when you can, and when you have the impetus to want to do it. So I agree with you. Well, I'm going to make sure and share your website address and, of course, your book, The Photographer on the Western Prairie. There you go. Absolutely wonderful. I hope everyone will purchase it.
It was reprinted just this year, just in February.
Oh, super.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I hope that they purchase it and read through it and find a new love and connection to Evelyn Cameron, which you've done a wonderful job of sharing that with us and making us wanting to learn more about her and to look at her photographs and to find a love of Montana and her interests and what Mother Nature has blessed us with.
Yes, and her photographs, many of them, not all of them, are available on the Montana Historical Society.
And I will share that link, because that's valuable. Absolutely.
And the documents. Yep.
Great. Well, all right, Lorna, I thank you very much for spending time with us today and sharing your information and your expertise. So, for the Naked Rancher series, Naked Rancher out.